Signs of the Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, celebrating over 55 years as an independent full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products, offering over 15 different types of insurance to cover every aspect of life. For a personalized, no-obligation quote, you can reach Bob Johnson Insurance at 865-922-3111 or online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888-RX4STAT.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times. Between the Catholic Church, the World Economic Forum, volcanic activity, earthquakes in various places, and everything in between, there's a whole lot of shaking going on. So we'll do our best to stay steady by the prophetic word of God as we look at the signs of the times. Our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, May 2nd. 2025. You can listen or watch any episode again. You can share them with a skeptical friend. You can read the articles that we talk about. And you can ask Pastor Mark your prophecy question when you visit the Signs of the Times section on thewaymedia.net or just grab our Way Media app from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now, here to remind us that someone who blames God for not immediately answering their prayers needs to thank God for not immediately punishing them for their sins is Pastor Mark, who became very uncomfortable the other day driving into a cemetery because his GPS blurted out, "You have reached your final destination."
Oh, yeah, that's not bad. I like that.
That would be unnerving, I think.
Yeah, that would be. That would be where you'd want to be.
Especially if you weren't expecting that.
That's right.
Or especially if you weren't even using your GPS.
It was a message from above.
And then the GPS comes on.
Yes. It was a message from above, though. I mean, your GPS, yeah. So we're
oh, my word.
Not bad.
Okay.
Not bad.
Before we get into articles, was there anything that you wanted to talk about in general?
Well, you know,
or are you ready to go?
No, I did have plans on, but I'm saying, I think we can jump right in the articles because there's things that we got to talk a while about Israel and the fires, but we have an article about that.
Yes.
Let's do this because I want to talk about this. Everybody's going to hear about it this week. Those of you guys that are out there in the news, I want to mention it. We'll have the article next week. You know me, I'm an open cannon here.
Yes.
You can't always depend on me. but I want to just mention this because, and then next week maybe we'll have an article and we'll talk about it again, Greg, and I'll give more details about this guy. But I want to mention to you guys, one of the things I've been telling our listeners for a while is, you look at all the things that the Lord said is going to be happening in Matthew 24. And one of them is there's going to be lots of false prophets. And, you know, there have always been false prophets throughout world history. And since Jesus, there's been false prophets. And again, even those who say they're the Christ, we look at Hinduism, who claim the Christ spirit and all that kind of stuff. So that's not new. But there's something different about where he talks about it. It's more of a, no, I'm not just a Christ among Christs. I am the Christ. I am the Messiah. I have come to save the world. We're going to see those guys start showing up on the scene. And we're going to see them showing up more abundantly, because the Lord said there's going to be a lot of them. And I remember saying, you know, that's the one thing I'm not seeing a lot of right now. I'm seeing all kinds of other things, but I'm not seeing that so much right now. Well, it may have begun, because this is the most blatant. I mean, really, you know, you think about David Koresh is the last one that said he was the Messiah, but he didn't really go public. he was kind of a hidden guy. You have these people like, the Jonestown, guy, their massacre there, Jim Jones, and you've got, David Koresh. They kind of did their thing privately. They said they were the Messiah. They said they were these things, God or whatever, but they did it kind of privately until it became known through the press after pretty much the damage they had done. But this is different. There's a guy by the name of Abdullah Hashem. Interesting. Arabic name and like a Jewish name. He is half Arabic, half Gentile or American. I say Gentile. I don't know whether or not it's a Jewish mom that he has. I'm not sure on that yet. But this guy has the two different names. Hashem means the name in Hebrew. And his first name, Abdullah, is a very common Arabic name. And I've always said, when the Antichrist comes on the scene, one of the things I've said, I can't say I've always said it, but in recent years, it wouldn't surprise me to see somebody that's half and half. And what I mean by that, half Arabic or Arab or what some might say Palestinian and half Jewish, because this world leader has to appeal to both sides. The Jews are looking for their Messiah, and the Muslims are looking for their Mahdi or Mahdi, however you say it. I've heard it said two different ways. They're looking for their Mahdi or Mahdi, and they both believe that this is going to be a world ruler that's going to rule and reign. So you think, how in the world can one person please both sides? If they were half and half, half Arabic, half Jewish, that would do it. And this guy claims to be, half Arab and half, I don't know if he says Gentile. I have to give you more details. I just saw this today for the first time, but I wanted to mention it. We'll have an article for you guys next week, and we'll talk about it more. But this guy is telling people, basically, he is the 12th Imam. He is the one that the Arabic community, the Muslim community, rather, not Arabic community, that the Muslim community is looking for. He is their savior. He is their Messiah, he's saying. He says he's the Christian's Messiah. He claims to be the new Pope. He says that it was a sign from God on the day that the Pope made some claim about his position that he died. Right after Easter, he died the next day. He says, that's a sign from God that God judged him. And he says, I am the new Pope of the Christians. Here's my message to Christians. I'm your new Pope. I'm your Messiah. To the Arabic world, I am your Mahdi. He's sitting and saying, I am. He's claiming to be God and the Messiah. Now, I know there have been guys that have done this, Greg, but this is like out in the open. This isn't hiding back in some room. We're going to see more and more of these guys. First of all, he is a fake. He is an imposter. We know that. The scripture is very clear. When Jesus comes back, it'll be in the clouds with all the angels and the glory of God and all that. But there's going to be a lot of these guys, and I've been predicting at some point this kind of procession of these guys is going to begin. How many? How often? I don't know. But I will say this. This is the first one that I know of in 20, 30, 40 years that is out more public and not hidden back in some compound like David Koresh or over in Jonestown like Jim Jones or this guy's out there, and they wear these black toboggans. And you look at him, he's got a black toboggan. All the people in the audience have a black toboggan.
Interesting.
And they do this chant for him. It's like this weird chant. They hold their fist in the air and they all do this chant every so often when I don't know what they're saying, but this guy is weird. It is demonic. You may hear about him. You may not. We'll see how long he lasts. But it's just very interesting. You're going to see him on the scene. He's going to show up more, I believe, at least among those who are looking for that. But he's going to be one of many. So the signs of Matthew 24, they are increasing now all over. And that's just to do and jumping in there. We'll talk to again, have an article for that next week.
Next week. And you know what's really interesting too, Pastor Mark, is that the fact that both sides are looking for their Messiah, and that prophetically that person will be the same person that the Bible says is the Antichrist.
Yeah.
Him purporting to be that means that he's got some level of knowledge that most people don't even pay attention to when it comes to that stuff. They don't. I mean, people know about the Antichrist and because that's what they've heard from the Bible, but they don't really understand what the Jews are looking for and what the Muslims are looking for and how this one guy is going to somehow satisfy both sides.
That's right. That's right.
So the fact that he's even named himself something that makes it look on the surface like he's appealing to both sides is very interesting.
And you wonder, did he give himself that name or did his father raise him that way, planting that in him and giving him that name?
Great question.
We don't know. But here's the thing to realize. I want our listeners to know this. Because you guys are going to be better educated. You guys are out there listening to good teaching and different people that are sharing on Scripture. You're not going to be deceived by this, but you may have friends that are. This is not the Antichrist. And you're going to hear things about, oh, the Antichrist has arrived. His name is Abdullah Hashem. No, the Antichrist has not arrived. You will not even know the Antichrist. I believe he will not be revealed, is what I believe the Scriptures teach, until after we're out of here. But the bottom line is you can also know he's not the Antichrist in this way. The Antichrist is going to be a world leader out of Europe, and the whole world's going to accept him. So he's got this whole thing, Greg. He's not just a man that's supposed to be spiritual, that's accepted by Jews and Muslims. He's going to be a man that's ruling the world economically and governmentally, and on top of it, is accepted by all the Muslims and the Christians, or not Christians, but those who are left behind, religious people, you know, that kind of thing, and the Jews. So the unsaved Christians or religious people and the Jews and the Muslims are all going to accept this guy. And so it's going to be very interesting. So this is not him for sure.
Now, what would be interesting, though, is if you were able to talk to this guy and go, give me a sign. Yeah. Give me a wonder.
Yeah.
Call down lightning from heaven.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the Bible says that the Antichrist is going to be able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, no, that's true. And again, but, you know, and also there may be some level of spiritual backing, you know, demonic backing, because this guy could be possessed by a demon that's doing this.
That's true.
But he's not the Antichrist. And I doubt he's going to be calling down lightning from heaven. But at the same time, you know, again, that's why, remember, don't be deceived by people. Even if they seem to have spiritual power, the unsaved and those that are vulnerable are going to follow these kind of people. And it's just really, really dark and weird. I mean, this is the kind of thing where you may end up seeing all these people dead down the road because of something this guy does. I don't know. It's just, it's got this weird feel to it, but I don't know. But you're going to hear about him if you're, I believe, we'll see. I don't think he's going to be worldwide known.
Yeah.
But I think you're going to hear about him in those who do their homework and look in the cult type circles. You're going to hear about this guy.
Well, we'll hit it again next week for sure.
Yes.
But until then, we are going to go to Israel. Because she is ablaze. This is from MSN.com, dated yesterday. Wildfires are raging outside of Jerusalem and enforcing evacuations and road closures.
Yeah, the good news is they've got, I think the majority of these are under control now, but this has been something that's been a really bad terrorist attack over there in Israel. Be praying for the nation of Israel.
So that's how this started.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Again, and before I even get in the article, Greg, there were all kinds of things immediately, all these climate change people, right? Climate change, what's happening? Well, it was funny, they were posting pictures of these Palestinians they were catching. They've caught three now, and they've got videos of more than three that were going and lighting fires. Here's why they did it. There was an unusual weather pattern. So they planned it when all the wind was blowing bad. They planned it so that if they lit these fires, it would do more damage. So it was a very well-planned terrorist attack. But all the climate people are going, see, this proves there's climate change. There was one article I read that said, we found out the name of climate change. It's Mohammed. And because they caught a guy by the name of Mohammed. They had him on film, and he arrested him. And that was his name. They said, here's climate change. We caught him. Here he is. So we stopped climate change.
Wow. So now here's all your money back.
Yeah, but anyway, it's a tragic, sad situation because, again, trees are a very valuable commodity in Israel. When they went back into the land, the Romans and others that had come in and attacked, they just wiped the land out, burned all the trees, cut them down. It was just almost desert. They spent many years replanting millions of trees. And again, because of that, God is really blessed into creating moisture and rain. The green is coming back. So they got a lot of damage. They're going to replant trees again, but it really did a lot of damage. Let me read some of the article again from this terrorist attack. Wildfires raging near Jerusalem forced evacuations in several areas and led to several major road closures on Wednesday as firefighters struggled to contain the flames amid dry conditions and high winds. This is perhaps the largest fire ever in the country, Jerusalem District Fire Department Commander Shmulik Friedman told reporters on Wednesday afternoon. He warned that winds in excess of 60 miles an hour are expected in the near future, dramatically increasing the risk of the fires. The fire forced authorities to close Route 1, the major road connecting Tel Aviv and Jerusalem on Wednesday, which was Israel's Memorial Day. So they turned 77. That's a big day. They turned 77 this last Wednesday. And then, of course, that's when they brought the terrorist attack. They like to pick special days for Israel and do terrorist attacks. But interestingly enough, the winds were working with them. You wonder, why did God allow that? Remember, God allows all these things, guys, those our listeners out there. He uses all this. And so God is using all these events in their life, although it was a terrorist attack and all these things happened and it was devastating. And we need to pray. And God intervened and shut it down and sent some rain even. They started praying rain even came, which again, you know, you never can predict rain there because their seasons are off and on. So God was faithful, but God uses this to get their hearts ready for the true Messiah when he comes, to get their hearts prepared. And so these trials, these tests, these difficulties they're going through, God's in control of all of that. And God allowed these winds. God allowed the fires. So we trust God in the midst of it, but we still need to pray for them that all the fires get put out, that, again, they can now replant these trees and restore it. That God will use it for what he wanted to use it for. But again, it's God's in control of all of it. It says the fire is active on multiple fronts, which again, now they're getting it under control. The Israeli police had said they apprehended a suspect attempting to ignite fire in an open field. They added saying that the suspect is a man in his 50s from Umm Tuba, which is a Palestinian Arab neighborhood in East Jerusalem. So again, they've caught three so far catching fires. Others, I think, are on film. And, I don't know if any of them started by what we call natural means or not, but it would appear that this was a coordinated terrorist attack. And maybe now they've caught them, they've ended climate change. So we'll see.
Well, you know, and really, it's almost an exercise of Ezekiel 38 and 39, because here's something that, you know, that was happening to the nation, this devastation coming upon them in this fire.
Yeah.
And there was no way of rescue other than just to cry out to God.
Yeah.
And by this crying out for the rain.
Yeah.
And the rain put the fire out.
Yeah.
And so what I think is very interesting is that they're going to cry out for God's help again.
Yes.
And God's going to send rain in the form of hail and brimstone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, I mean, it's just very interesting that you could make, and I'm not trying to make this more than what it is, but you could see some similarities.
Yeah. When the Ezekiel 38 and 39 battle, you know, it's interesting, Greg, they were showing Highway 1, which I've been on, every time I've been there now, so 15 times. It runs up the main heart of Jerusalem. And they literally showed traffic stop because the flames coming across the road and people running back. I mean, just shut down the whole main interstate system. And even had to send bulldozers in to break down the walls between the highway so people could flee and get out different directions. It was pretty dramatic. And there was a couple of weeks ago, there was another terrorist attack where there were about 400 or 500 people that were on a hiking trail in one part of Israel. And this guy came in behind them and lit a fire. So they couldn't get out because the fire was burning between them and the way to get back to their civilization. Nobody was hurt. But again, but somebody brought up a very good point that I thought, I don't know if it was Amir or somebody that was on Amir's site or that he quoted, but he said, this proves who loves the land and who doesn't.
Mm.
You don't burn down things you love.
Yeah.
You try to preserve it. So they claim it's our land. It's our land. Well, you certainly don't care about it like it's your land. It reminds me of, remember the woman that came, the two women before Solomon, and they had the baby, and he was like, no, it's my baby. No, it's my baby. And he said, all right, cut it in half. And the true mom was like, no, what? Let her have it. Let her have the baby. I don't care. She can have the baby. Well, that was very clear. He was so wise. That's the true mom because she would never want her baby to die. And so she was willing to give her baby up to keep her baby alive. That's the nation of Israel. They love the land. They love the dirt. They love the stones. They do their architecture and they put barriers. They protect it. I remember when they were digging in. You know about this. The Muslims were digging into the Temple Mount there near the Al-Aqsa Mosque because they wanted to build something new up there. And they were dumping the dirt just over the wall down there in the valley, just dumping the dirt out. They didn't care about it. This is from the Holy Temple Mount that they claim means something to them, but to the Jews, it's everything. And the Jews went down there and they collected all that dirt. They sent truck after truck after truck getting the dirt. It meant so much to them. They moved the dirt to a new location and then sifted it to see if there was anything that from God. They found all kinds of coins and lamb bone and teeth and all kinds of things, valuable things. It was tremendous. But what it shows is the Bible says, those who love the land will love its stones. They will love its very, everything about it.
That's a good point.
When I go to Israel, I love the land. I love the stones. I just look at them. I mean, I could kiss them. I wish I was there right now. There's something about the land. I love it. And the Jews love it, even though they're not saved. They love it. And what you watch is the Muslims, they hate it. They abuse it. They trash it. They don't take care of it. It's very obvious who the real mother is. Because one of them cares and one of them doesn't. And it's so graphic in situations like this.
On the boats and on the planes,
As we come back to America, we find ourselves in a Blaze Media article dated April 25th, where a family says their Christian daughter can't graduate high school over a religious objection to LGBTQ plus curriculum.
Yeah, this is insane. This is where I say, moms and dads, you may want to consider pulling your kids out of public school and homeschooling. I tell you, that's a big statement to make because I know homeschooling takes a lot of work. We did that with our girls. They were in Christian school for part of their education, and then they were homeschooled for the other part of their education. But, you know, when you see this kind of situation, and I'm not saying that, you know, there's no parent can have their child in a public school. I'm not making that statement. I realize sometimes, you know, that it can be something where they can even be a light if they're well-trained and they're strong, or if it's a situation where there's not a lot of bad influence there. But the more I see what's happening in our schools, you watch the enemy working in a big way. I think it's getting to a point to where at some point down the road very soon, it's going to be very hard to have our kids in the public schools just because of this kind of corruption. They're forcing our kids beyond the parents' will to do things that are evil. And if you don't do the evil, then they won't let you graduate. Oh my goodness, this is what it says. A Christian family has filed a lawsuit against a Maryland school district. By the way, Maryland is completely corrupt. It seems to be out of Maryland, all this wicked stuff I see regular, even more so lately. Mm-hmm. Maryland school district that isn't allowing the family's star student daughter to graduate over religious objections to a health class with LGBTQ plus curriculum. The student whose identity is being protected by Fox News Digital has a GPA. She got 1450, received a 1450 on her SATs, which is in the 96th percentile, according to school records. She has a 4.76 GPA as well. And I quote, "We're not trying to get the MSPS to stop teaching about this LGBTQ plus," which they should, "or change its curriculum. We are simply trying to get them to refrain from discriminating, you know, against their daughter for religion." It says, despite her excellent records, Montgomery County Public Schools aren't allowing her to graduate because she refuses to complete a mandatory health class with the LGBTQ affirming and religiously discriminatory content, according to the family. Now, she will win this. She's going to win. If it goes to the Supreme Court, if it has to, she will win. Because they can't do this. And President Trump right now and other officials there in the education department have been trying to change this already. There's just recently been the news about those that are trying to force our children to do things without allowing them to opt out, basically taking away your choice of freedom. And we're not talking about, I don't want to take math class. You know, I don't want to take science class. I don't want to take, you know, English class. No, we're talking about a health class where they include things that, again, the Bible says are an abomination to God. And so they have a conviction, I can't be a part of this, or I'd be sinning against God. And so, you know, again, they have to fight this, and they shouldn't have to fight this. This should be something that's very easy to figure out, very easy to do. And so, but we're going to see more of this. And some of you parents out there have already had your battles and your struggles. You know, the sad thing to me, Greg, and this is where our listeners may be surprised, but even raising our kids in Christian school, we ran into more than one situation where the Christian schools were compromising the word of God. And, you know, we weren't the legalistic parents who were there saying, you know, you're not, you know, wearing your beanie or your prayer shawl. And so, you know, you're in sin. You know, it wasn't something like that. It was just, look, we really don't want our kids to see, R-rated movies with foul language or whatever. And yeah. I can't remember the exact examples, but things that were inappropriate for our kids to see and be a part of. That even in Christian schools, I hear about it from time to time. I recently heard about another Christian school in our area that you know has somebody in their Bible curriculum that's teaching that, you know, there are certain things that the Bible condemns, and they're saying it's okay. They're making it seem normalized. And when you do that, you know, it's not only wrong before God and wrong before man, it's corrupting the next generation. I remember one battle we had many years ago in a Christian school that our kids were involved in. And they were, you know, again, I would never name names. But the point is, I remember it was this whole thing of saying, look, we don't want our kids to be exposed to this. And the answer we got was, look, they're gonna run into this in the world anyway. And my answer to that was, you know what? You're right. But they shouldn't have to run into it in their Christian school. They're going to run into it in the world. But their Christian school should be a safe place where they don't have to run into it. And that's why we have them here. So they can be protected from the trash of the world. And when you bring the trash of the world in and teach things, you know, that are against the Word of God into a Christian school or even a regular high school, that's something that should not be forced upon our children. It should be something that is like, you know what, that's up to the parents. They make that call. And, you know, I know that it's hard. Even in Christian schools, when it comes to education, and there's this temptation. I actually was a Christian school principal for 2 years, and I think one of the temptations was, as well, we want to be like the rest of the schools, and if we're going to have, you know, the credentials that the world has, we need to bring in the classics and all these different things. And I get it; there's certain education the kids need, but you got to remember, just because the world calls something a classic, it may be an abomination to God. So the world's classics can be God's abominations. We have to be able to say, wait a minute, is this teaching sexual immorality? Is this teaching things that are disreverent to God? We need to be very careful on this. And it was interesting, Greg, when I went through this process of this Christian school, it was in Santa Fe, New Mexico, many years ago when we lived out there for a while. In order to become accredited, to be like the rest of the schools, air quotes, we had to allow certain things in that were ungodly. And I remember saying, no, don't do it. I mean, it was, you know, I left as the headmaster before they brought their new people in. They eventually did, I think, go ahead and agree to those things and do it. But when I was there, I was like, you know, we're not doing this because we're not going to allow ourselves to be corrupt by the world just so that the world accepts us. And, you know, it reminds me of when the nation of Israel went to Samuel. And they said, we want a king like everybody else. We want a king like the rest of everybody around. We don't have a king. God said, I don't want you to have a king. I want you to be different than all the other nations. I want you to be different than all the other peoples around you. I'm your king. You bow to me. You make my word your standard. There's your constitution, the word of God. You stand on that. And they were like, no, we'll have a king like other nations. And God said to Samuel, went and wept before the Lord. And he said, God spoke to him and said, Samuel, they've not rejected you. They've rejected me. He said, go ahead and let them have it. They want a king, let them have a king. He said, but they're going to suffer. They're going to suffer the consequences of a guy that's going to take their sons and daughters for battle, sons and daughters for servants and slaves. They're going to be taxed and take all their taxes. If that's what they want, you let them have it. He said, but remember, it's not you they're rejecting, it's me they're rejecting. And of course, it was a mess. Now, of course, God brought David in after that, and God gave them godly kings, and they had godly kings and ungodly kings. But God's overall plan was to be what it's going to be when Jesus comes back, and that is, no, as a people, you come under me and allow me to be your king. But if you want a man to lead you, all right, I'll give you a man. I'll pick a godly man to lead you. I'll let you pick Saul, which was, you know, not good. And I'll ordain that. But then I'm going to bring you one that's really going to have a heart after my heart. And you're going to suffer great consequences. And they did. So again, for these parents, hang in there. You know, I doubt they're going to hear this, but I hope they hang in there and fight. It sounds like the kind of parents that will. And if you parents are out there in your public schools or even your private schools or your Christian schools, and they're bringing in things that are compromising your children, do not sit back and say, well, we can't help it. We can't do anything. We don't want to cause trouble. You know what? You need to go at least talk to them and say, wait a minute. Why are we teaching things here that are an abomination to God? Why are we exposing our kids to sexually perverted content just because we want them to be educated like the world? The Bible says to be ignorant in evil and wise in what is good. And I know that all of our kids are going to learn soon enough all the evil that's out there. My mom and dad did not have to teach me about the evil things that were out there. I learned them very quickly by just being out there. But we should not be teaching it to our kids in a place where they should be safe. And that's why I say, you know, don't be afraid to fight, make a stand. And hopefully we'll get the schools and even have, you know, Christian schools. And I'm not saying that Christian schools here aren't making a stand. I do believe they are. But I mean, Christian schools, all of them, 100%, making strong stands to say, you know what? We're going to stand with the Lord. We're not going to bend. Here's what the word says. You don't have to come here. But if you come here, it's going to be this environment and they're going to be safe.
That's Pastor Mark Kirk, who's helping us understand the signs of the times. It's our weekly review of Bible prophecy in the world's news on WIAM LP Knoxville. We are a weekly radio broadcast that will become podcast episode number 361 and has been audited by Doge and found not to be a waste of your time. And now,
you've got mail.
We've got two questions this week, Pastor Mark. Our first one comes from Wesley, who has a question regarding the synagogue of Satan. It says, early in the book of Revelation, Jesus mentions a group of people who call themselves Jews, who are actually not Jews, but are the synagogue of Satan.
Yes.
Can you offer clarity on this? It seems difficult to find any teachings on these specific topics.
Yeah, again, remember in that day, again, when the church started, you had a lot of Jews that were opposing the Christians because a lot of the early church was almost all Jews. So you had Jewish people leaving the Jewish faith and becoming Christians, and it made the Jewish community very mad. Those who didn't believe, even as they attacked Jesus, they were attacking the church. And so remember, Paul says in the epistles that Paul wrote, Romans, that's it. Paul said in Romans, I was trying to think of which book it was. Paul said in Romans, not all Hebrews or all Jews are Jews. Not all Israel is Israel. His point was, is you may be a Jew by genetics. You can prove you're a descendant of Abraham. But you're not a Jew before God. That is the Israel of God, because you're not saved and you don't believe in the Messiah. So what you had in that day was you had synagogues of Jewish people who were Jews by heritage. They were Jews by descendancy of Abraham. If you had DNA back then, they could have proven we are descendants of Abraham. Okay, they could have proven that. But they rejected the God of Abraham. And so by rejecting the God of Abraham, they were genetically Jews, but they were not true Jews. They were synagogues of Satan because they were rejecting God and they were rejecting the Messiah, and Satan had taken them over. So they were opposing the churches there in that day and in Revelation. So what he's saying is, look, just because they are Jews and they have a synagogue doesn't mean they love God or know God. No, they may be genetically Jews, but they are not spiritually Jews. Therefore, they are of the synagogue of Satan and they are false Jews spiritually. So he's speaking about a spiritual thing here. They were Jewish truly by lineage, but not Jewish by spiritual lineage.
All right, Pastor Mark, our next question comes from Carl. And Carl has a question about the number 666. And he's wanting more clarity as we look at Revelation 13, 18.
Where's the scary music? When you said that, we should have...
Oh.
Sorry, okay, you don't have to. No, I got you sidetracked.
No,
I just thought, you know, whenever we say that number, we need to kind of have that ready to go.
Yeah,
you know? Something that is kind of like... it. We don't really have that kind of scary thing, but... 666. Thank you. That's much better. It sets this. We're ready for the question now.
Now, okay. Well, now we're ready for your answer. So he's wanting more clarity on Revelation 13, 18.
Yeah, let me read it.
Yes.
Let me read it. I kind of give a lead into it. Yes, most of our listeners know what this is. And it talks about when the Antichrist comes and how we can identify him and all this, how they can identify him. It says he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or their foreheads, which again is mocking God, because God puts a mark on our forehead, the Bible says. God has us marked with his name. He's written his name on us. And so when he told them to wrap his word on their forearm, you know, with their, so he's mocking God in this, as Satan always does. He tries to imitate God. And so he says he'll cause them to take a mark, the whole world, as he declares that he's God, on their right hand and on their foreheads, that no one may buy or sell except the one who has the mark or the name of the beast, and his number is, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it, that's the Antichrist, for it is the number of a man, so he'll be a man, just possessed by Satan. His number is 666. So again, that's where that comes from. And let me explain what's going on here as far as this whole, the mark of the beast or the number of the Antichrist. I believe the Bible teaches that we will not know who the Antichrist is until after the rapture.
Yeah, the great falling, the son of perdition will not be revealed until the great falling away takes place.
Yes, yeah, the falling away takes place, and then he'll be revealed. So we'll not even know who he is. And remember, I want to remind our believers, our fellow brothers out there, you know, our job as believers is to be looking for the Christ, not the Antichrist. Now, if because you can get real sidetracked. Like I just mentioned this Abdullah Hashem or whatever.
Yes.
And I'm sure people look him up. That's fine. But the thing is, you're going to, you know, you don't want to waste time with these people. They're false prophets. They're deceivers. Jesus identified. He's going to come back in the clouds of glory. So you don't have to waste your time on that. But at the same time, I don't believe this is for us prior to the rapture. I believe this is for those who get saved after the rapture. And that is so that they will have an indication and a clue as to verify this is indeed the Antichrist.
Well, and then that's it after the break in Revelation, where they were using messianic term, Jewish messianic terms,
yeah,
and then switches to, or I'm sorry, it was Gentile terms, and then it switches to Jewish terms.
Yes,
it talks, which indicates after the rapture.
Yeah, yeah, up through chapter, right, up through all the first three chapters of Revelation, it uses all Gentile messianic terminology. And then in chapter 4, verse 1, where it says, John said, and the voice said to me, come up here, and suddenly he goes up. Immediately after that, it's all messianic Jewish terms for the Messiah until the second coming in Revelation. So, I mean, it's such a clear, loud yeah. statement by the Holy Spirit that we're gone, we're not here. But with that said, I believe God has put this code here. First of all, let me just say this. When you start trying to use 666 to identify the Antichrist, there are millions of people in the world whose name comes out to the number 666. So here's how this works. The Hebrew language, all of their letters have a number assigned to them. So when you take the Hebrew letters and take the number, you can come up with a number for every Hebrew word that's used. So the Jews know that. So this is something that's really more for the Jews to get saved afterwards. And of course, the Gentiles that learn from that will do it as well. So if you tried right now to find everybody who's got 666 as far as the number of their name in Hebrew, there's millions. I mean, you could never know. I mean, just because someone count, Ronald Reagan's name came out to 666 in the Hebrew, he certainly was not the Antichrist. There are people today trying to say that Trump's the Antichrist, and they'll name other people. I don't think his name number comes out to 666. I don't know. But either way, so don't get caught up in this whole getting the numbers to Hebrew, the name in Hebrew as to what it is. There are millions of them. You could never nail that down. So I don't think that's what this is talking about. It's not so that we can go look at who has the number 666 because you can't count them. There's just so many of them. What it's saying is, there's going to be a world leader who's going to rise up out of Europe. He's going to be not millions, but one guy you can look at. And when the people get saved right after the rapture takes place, and the Jews that get saved and the Gentiles that get saved, not really knowing the word of God, but hearing someone say, hey, it's going to be a world leader out of Europe. When this guy comes on the scene, I believe God has given them this number, and I believe his name will come out in the Hebrew calculation using the letters to 666 so that those that are here right after the rapture will know for sure, yeah, that's the Antichrist. And why would God be so sweet to give them that blessing? So that they don't obey him. He may come on the scene, and if they don't know who he is, they're obeying him, they're going along, and all of a sudden he says, hey, yeah. take this mark on your hand or your forehead. Well, they might not understand all this. And then you go, wait a minute. You calculate his name and say, guys, it talks about this in Revelation 13. I know we're all new believers. I know we're just finding this out. But it talks about this guy and his name. His number comes out to 666, and everybody's going to stay away from him who knows God, because if you take the mark of the beast, you are eternally condemned. So God shows his mercy to not let them be eternally condemned by giving them a clue here. And I think this is a sweetness of the Holy Spirit that'll be revealed to those to verify that the Antichrist is indeed the Antichrist, this new world leader, and maybe even, Greg, while he's rising up to power, maybe before he even completely takes over, they can look and say, who's this guy rising to power? And then go do the calculation and go, that's him. So God may actually let him know, who knows, a little bit before. But either way, this is not really a concern of ours, and I think this can be something that will sidetrack people into looking for the Antichrist all the time when, again, just our focus needs to be on the Christ. He's coming any minute.
Yeah. All right. If you've got a question for Pastor Mark, just visit our website at thewaymedia.net and click on Signs of the Times, or you can do the same thing right in our Way Media app.
You may be a businessman or some high-degree thief. They may.
All right, as we take a look at one world government, otherwise known as the devil you know is sometimes better than the devil you don't know, we visit Breitbart.com for an article dated April 21st. Klaus Schwab vacates the WEF chair, but look out who his interim chief is.
Yes, this is very interesting because this particular organization has been used by the enemy in big ways and you know, to really get the world toward a more globalist type society that'll be there when the Antichrist
yeah,
comes into
power. The World Evil Foundation.
Yeah, yeah, and so again, Klaus Schwab, he was the great villain. I mean, look, now that he's retired, if I'm in Hollywood, I'm calling that guy. I'm saying, hey, I know you're retired. Before you die, can we do one movie? I mean, you make a great villain. I'd love you to be, whether it's the villain, whatever villain it was, James
whatever
Bond.
Whatever villain he wants to
maybe
be.
Maybe it's a Marvel's movie, you know, and I don't care what movie, but he, and you know what? Okay, well, I'm not much of an actor. I don't want you to act.
just be yourself.
Just be yourself. And the people are going to love you. They're going to go, this is the most evil guy I've ever seen. How they find him? Well, the World Economic Forum. That was Klaus Schwab. He had this whole, you know, German accent. The whole thing was there. I mean, the bad guy, he was the greatest bad guy in the world.
Yes.
It's almost like, you know, maybe Satan wouldn't use him and had to get him out of there because it's too obvious. It's like, okay, we this guy's not, I can imagine Satan talking to the demons. This guy's not going to work.
So Satan called central casting. Can you imagine? And got
everybody,
look,
everybody come in. Yep, come in. Gather, come on, guys. Pull in. Everybody pull in. We can't. This Schwab guy, we got to get rid of him. Why? It's too obvious. He's too good of an evil guy.
Right.
But they found another German guy. And I'm not saying German's evil. Please don't misunderstand me. But it's interesting, the people that come out of Germany that lead this, you know, there's, again, we look at the history of the demonic realm in Germany, what happened to World War II. You wonder how much influence, again, there, by the way, there are some wonderful German people. Part of my heritage goes back to Germany. My great-grandmother was a full German that came over from Germany. So I have German blood through my veins. So I'm not picking on Germans. That's part of my heritage. I'm simply saying that it's interesting when you look at the German people. There's been, you know, we talk about regional demons. There's been a lot of activity in recent world history coming out of Germany. And you saw Klaus Schwab there again. Now you see this guy. But let me read some of this, and I'll tell you a little bit about this guy. He says, just when you thought he was gone, the Globus World of Comedy, WEF, founder Klaus Schwab on Monday vacated his position of its board of trustees there of the Geneva-based Institute confirmed and informed us that he's leaving in his 88th year. He's decided to step down from the position of chair as a member of the board, and they've put a new guy in, Vice Chairman Peter Brabeck Letmathe. I'm not saying that right, probably. Letmathe, whatever. Peter, we'll call him Peter Brabeck because that's an easy one, was appointed the board chairman and interim that a search committee for replacement had appointed, according to the AFP. Now, this guy, listen, I don't know a lot about him yet, but you thought Klaus Schwab was bad. I mean, I'm sure Klaus Schwab is just as bad. This guy is just as bad, if not worse. He made a statement, Greg, and this was so devious about this. If you can make statements that are super evil and make them sound normal, it kind of moves the goalpost and gets a whole new starting point. He literally, I watched him in a video interview say this. There are some people that say that water is a human right. He said, but that's extremism. Water?
Yeah.
Is extremism? No. Without water, you will die. And without water, you can't live but a few days. But what they're doing is, I've been noticing this, Greg, this started before him. They're trying to get control of the water supply in certain areas of Europe, and they want the water, the control, I think, worldwide, because they can say either obey us or die. Either you obey us or you get no water. And we go, what are you talking about? If we don't have water, we're going to die. Oh, water's not a right. Well, you're an extremist. Well, you think water's a human right? What are you, some water extremist? But so they take something that is
very clever.
God, listen, food and water God has given for the survival of mankind. And to come in and act like somehow it's extremism to want to eat and drink, only the devil could do something that wicked. This guy's saying that. He's out there and he's laying the groundwork. I'm telling you, our listeners, be watching for this. They're laying the groundwork, if they get the power to do it, to start taking away people's supplies to survive, to make the world do what they want. Now, where did this come from? Let me tell you where this idea came up after COVID. I watched it evolve. Here's what happened. As they're meeting, I'm watching those videos. They said, the problem is we can't force the world to take these shots. We can't force them to. We're trying. We got 5 billion plus, but we couldn't get everybody to do it. There's those crazy Christians and others that, you know, make their stand, and we can't get everybody to do this. So we need something where they can't survive and without doing what we ask them to do. And somebody, and one of the ideas, they brought this up. I'm watching this video. One of the ideas is the water supply. If we can somehow pull away the water supply in regions for people, they can't survive. And so we can say, look, you want to survive, then you've got to take the shot, or you've got to do whatever we're asking you to do, or otherwise you can't get water. And when they complain, well, this isn't a right. Water's not a right just because we cut your water supply off and we've got it over here. That's not a right. You're an extremist. This is evil and wicked. And this guy is now the leader of it. And this is the kind of stuff he's pushing. So I don't know. I'm not saying that out of the World Economic Forum, the Antichrist is going to come. I'm simply saying that this is the mindset of the globalist world. Satan will control the world. He's going to control it. Nobody can buy or sell without the mark of the beast. It might be that it ends up being, oh, you want water? You got to take the mark. Oh, you want to eat? You got to take the mark. That may be leading into that, but keep your eye on this because this is insidious, it's evil, and they're making it look like people who would simply want to survive are extremists.
Mm.
Scary stuff. I'm glad the Lord's on the throne.
Well, hopefully we'll have more info on him as the days and weeks go by.
Oh, we will.
Oh, we will. Yes, indeed. All right, let's take a look at some growing anti-Semitism news as Signs of the Times rolls on into a Fox News article dated April 22nd. Israel-related anti-Semitism is driving record numbers in ADL's 2024 audit. Please explain what all this means, Pastor Mark.
Yes, I will. And by the way, Greg, when you said we were under DOGE, okay?
Yes.
Department of God's Exposition.
Hmm.
That's so that's how we know Department of God's Exposition. We know that we're not going to bring any harm. Anyway.
I like that.
Yeah. All right, so we're back.
Wasn't what I was thinking, but that works.
That's all right. Anyway, for the first time, the majority of anti-Semitic incidents were related to Israel or Zionism. The majority, okay, notice this, of anti-Semitism, Israel or Zionism. It's usually just because you're Jewish. But now it's growing more focused in on Israel and Zionism, which, again, Satan hates, and we expect to see that. The Bible says it'll happen. But notice this. The Anti-Defamation League says the incidents have increased a staggering 926% since they started tracking in 1979. Think about that. Almost 1,000% increase in anti-Semitism incidents. This is the fourth year in a row that the number of anti-Semitic incidents across the country broke previous records. The ADL characterized this as part of the continued post October 7th spike in anti-Semitism. And it says this, let's be clear, anti-Semitism is an irrational hatred of individuals or institutions just because they're Jewish. Jonathan Greenblatt told Fox News. He later noted that ADL has been conducting an annual audit of anti-Semitic incidents since the 1970s, and we've simply never seen numbers like this. So remember, again, the Bible says you're going to see an increased hatred of Jews, but you're going to see a special increased hatred of Israel and of Zionism. That is that God loves Israel and that God brought them back in the land. And boy, are we seeing it. I mean, the whole world is turning against Israel, just as the Bible said. Shouldn't surprise us. Remember, God's going to allow them to turn up the heat, and then God's going to break them, and then they're going to receive their Messiah. So this doesn't surprise us, but this is pretty serious.
All right, as we head to some pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption, we've got plenty of that this week for sure. Our first article comes from the BBC, dated April 24th. Istanbul residents flood the streets after a magnitude 6.2 earthquake.
You wonder, why would they put all the water out in the streets and flood it, you know, just because of an earthquake? That doesn't make sense to me, but let's read.
I don't think that's what they meant, Pastor Mark.
Are you sure?
You might want to look at
that. Okay, let's read it and see what it says. A series of earthquakes, including 6.2 magnitude tremor, have struck near Istanbul, shaking buildings and prompting people to flee their homes. Yes, of course, I was joking. It just means I'm not joking about the earthquake. I'm being silly. Sometimes I make a silly joke and I realize, wait a minute, that could be taken wrong about the article. I am not joking about people fleeing their homes. I was being silly about the water. I apologize. Anyway, they fled their homes. At least 151 were injured jumping from high places. Look at this, Greg. They were so afraid they were going to get hurt.
That is bad, yes.
They jumped off of buildings.
Wow.
The governor of Turkey's largest city said on X, there are no deaths, no major structural damage reported. The largest earthquake.
Which, that's amazing.
Yes, the largest earthquake on Wednesday struck at 1249 local time at a depth of 4.3 miles. Residents reported the main earthquake as one of the strongest they'd felt in years, with many saying they feared an even bigger quake. Istanbul is Turkey's most populous city and home of 16 million people. Again, just be praying for, you know, Istanbul. Be praying for Turkey. Again, first of all, for the people, that God will have mercy on them. Thankfully, we don't see, again, any large scale or any deaths here that it mentions, which is the praise report. But no doubt this caused a lot of damage, and just be praying for them. Pray that when these kind of things happen, these disasters happen in these places, that God would use this to drive them to the Lord, that God would open up their eyes and drive them to him. Again, because God can use this kind of thing. And, you know, whatever it takes, you know, if that's what it takes, then I'd rather them be saved and have difficult times than to everything go great and not come to the Lord. So God can use this. Be praying for Istanbul. And I'm thankful here it doesn't talk about any type of casualty report on that.
MSN.com is reporting on April 28th, American volcano is about to erupt after 66 earthquakes recorded in a week. And I don't know if there's any new information on this, but
I haven't gotten any new information, but let me read this. Okay. Mount Spur in Alaska has experienced again the 66 quakes in 1 week. But here's what it says. This is what's interesting. They say, released a report, the Alaska Volcano Observatory released a report late last week detailing heightened seismic activity, noting that an eruption cannot be ruled out. Last month, the AVO warned that the volcano could erupt within weeks, although ground deformation has slowed somewhat this month. And I quote, "The likelihood of an eruption has decreased since March, but the volcano remains at an elevated level of unrest, and an explosive eruption or eruptions like those that occurred in 1953 and 1992 are still possible," the AVO said in the update. "We would expect to see weeks of more elevated unrest that would provide advance warning of an eruption," he added. Now, again, the thing about this, well, I'll wait because it's the next article that does it. So the bottom line is, remember, Matthew 24, we're going to see more and more earthquakes, greater consequences from them, and that moves us right into our next article.
Well, what really, it's just a carryover from that,
yes.
You know, from the Mount Spur issue.
Yes.
This one, terrified experts say U.S. volcano is set to erupt, will trigger international travel chaos.
Yes, so we're spurred on to the next one.
Yes,
Alaska volcano could blow at any time. And look at this. When it does, here's the other part of this. It will set off a chain reaction that would cause international chaos. Mount Spur is an 11,000-foot tall mountain that sits about 80 miles from Alaska's most densely populated city, Anchorage, which is the home to nearly 300,000 people. City residents are already bracing for a possible eruption, which experts say could happen in a matter of weeks to months, but they won't be the only ones impacted by this explosive event. A massive cloud of ash billowing 50,000 feet in the air would force international hubs such as Ted Stevens Anchorage International Airport and potentially Fairbanks International Airport to shut down. So, again, the last days, Romans 8:22, the earth is going to be grumbling. We're going to see more and more earthquakes, greater and greater strength to these earthquakes. And, you know, you look at the things happening, Greg, in Revelation, where the sky goes dark. I know there's going to be fires from all the green burnt trees that are burning, grass that's burning. No doubt there'll be volcanoes exploding. Imagine if all this stuff goes up in the air at one time. You thought that right there, just in that one area, affects travel around the world, because a lot of airlines go over the top of the world to go down to the other side of the... I've done that before going to Israel. You go over the top, you know. And so this is going to affect, when and if it happens, it will affect the whole world's flight patterns from those traveling over the top. But imagine this being worldwide. Earthquakes worldwide, volcanoes worldwide, things on fire. Says it'll be so densely full of smoke and dust that the sun will look like, you know, sun and moon look like blood. And that's what it looks like when you look through, you know, smoke. So, mm-hmm. Again, this could be a precursor to what we're going to see during the Great Tribulation.
Well, as we head to the Catholic Church, we find an article from thetimes.com. A Catholic academic is saying that most cardinals at the Vatican are gay.
Yeah. You know, Greg, this is something that is kind of the secret among the Catholic community there around the Vatican, has been for years. I've heard this for years, and they say there's a lot of corruption there in that way.
Yeah.
They don't talk about it openly, but somebody is here, you know, and they're concerned it's going to affect, you know, how the people view the Vatican and all that. You know, one of the biggest concerns they said they had now is they don't want bird flu to get in there during this, because of all the cardinals are afraid they may die.
I was wondering where you were going with that. Yes.
Anyway.
Well, they do wear red.
Yes. Well, they're cardinals. They say they're cardinals. And so
it's
bird flu.
It's bird flu.
So you want to be careful with that. That's really going to be screening very highly.
Pastor Mark, spurring on with the bad jokes on this edition of Science
I'm
of the
sorry.
Times.
You know, I'm going to apologize to our listeners.
Good.
I'm a little tired today. And the danger of me getting tired is sometimes I don't have the best control of my tongue. Let's get back to the articles.
So now our listeners are like, stay tired, Pastor Mark.
Most of the Roman Catholic cardinals who will choose the new pope, he says, are homosexual. Despite the church's doctrine that homosexuality is a sin, this Belgian expert has now said, and again, this is stories. These stories have been coming out for years. This is not a shocker to anybody. It's just to say it publicly is kind of like,
I was going to say it's been an unwritten truth or knowledge for a long time. But now, when people are starting to be quoted in articles about it,
And you know, Greg, again, this is the whole thing about why God, you know, gave wives and husbands and wives. Whenever you take away the natural life of a human and make it unnatural. Because God didn't say that these men were supposed to be single, then, you know, they see the same kind of things in prisons where people begin that are unsaved begin to express themselves physically in ways because they, you know, there is not the natural way. So they really kind of created a lot of this themselves. But either way, Rick Torfs, a professor of canon law at the Catholic University of Leuven, has started debate with these claims made on popular Belgian news analyst program after Pope Francis' death was announced on Monday. And I quote, "A paradoxical situation remains." Torfs said about Francis's legacy, "On the one hand, homosexual relations are considered sinful, but on the other, a significant percentage, probably the majority of cardinals, are homosexual." So, you know, it's a real dilemma. And this is, again, whenever you have man's religion as compared to God's spiritual relationship, you run into this. And sadly, it is really a man's religion here in Catholicism rather than a spiritual-led movement of God. And you have these kind of things. It's sad.
Yeah. And even though we didn't necessarily have an article this week, because we were off last week when we would have talked about the death of Pope Francis.
Yeah.
We will be talking about the Catholic Church in the coming weeks because they will be electing a new pope.
Yeah.
And as we all know, Catholicism is a global religion and is the only global religion that has a recognized world leader. And so who they pick as the next pope may or may not have prophetic significance for us.
Yeah, very interesting to see.
Yeah, so we'll keep our eyes on it in the coming weeks. But until then, we are going to enjoy some good news. At least I hope it's good. Christianity Today is reporting in Trump's trade war, Bibles are safe, at least for now.
Yeah, this is cool to see how God leaves this door open, you know, with all these things. Even with the trade wars going, God is keeping his word flowing, you know.
Yeah.
Paul talks about, you know, you can lock me up and put me in prison, but you can't keep the word of God chained. It's going to go where it's going to go. And I see the Holy Spirit doing this, where they're allowing Bibles to still go and not be under these tariffs.
Yeah, well, you know what's interesting to me is that you have a communist nation that is essentially godless in terms of the God of the Bible, aside from the underground churches that exist. But as a nation recognized, they hate Christianity officially from the government's position.
Yes.
And yet it's that country that's producing the Bibles that this country and other countries read. I just find that odd.
Well, it is to remember they don't allow the Bible. They don't want the Bibles there, but they're shipping
but they
them away.
Them.
This is Greg. This is about money.
Yes,
they're making money off of it. The administration said Christian books printed in China remain exempt from the tariffs. And by the way, I think you said our broadcast is still exempt from tariffs, right?
Yeah, that's true. We are tariff-free
today.
Yes.
Amity Printing, a company in China, specializes in thin paper book printing and has produced over 277 million Bibles. Christian publishers can breathe a sigh of relief, at least for now, when it comes to the effects of President Trump's tariffs. Again, there would neither be reciprocal tariffs or anything. It's basically tariff-free on the Bibles. The administration listed books, including Bibles, as exempt from the reciprocal tariffs that Trump announced April 2nd under the International Emergency Economic Powers Act. And this, again, coming from U.S. Customs and Border Protection, Christianity Today, declaring this, the question of whether China tariffs apply to Bibles is no small issue. China has specialized in Bible printing technology for decades, by some counts, producing more than 75% of all the new Bibles. So, again, I just love it. Here it is, all these tariffs on all kinds of goods around the world. God is making his word available, and God's going to continue to make his word available. And by the way, God's spirit and salvation is available to you that are listening today. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you have availability right now to heaven through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, by his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. And all you have to do is say, Lord, please forgive me of my sins. I know that I'm a sinner. Confess your sin to God. Tell him you know he died for you. You believe his blood washes your sins clean. Be cleansed and receive the Lord. And the Bible says you'll be born again. And then you have your place secure in the kingdom of God. And there's no better thing you could do. You're talking about an eternal investment as something that God has made available freely to you and to your family and to all your friends, be availed of it. You know, I think a lot of people say, I heard it again today, hey, maybe if the rapture takes place, then I'll believe in Jesus Christ. The problem is once the rapture takes place, you may never believe because hearts are going to be hardened. Now, a lot of people will believe, I know that, but there's also others that will have hardened hearts. And also, when it tells us what's going to happen during the Great Tribulation, you do not want to be here. You want to be gone. I mean, it's going to be, the Antichrist is going to be controlling everyone's life by the mark that we talked about earlier. He'll control what you can buy, what you can sell, how you can live. If you don't take the mark of the beast, they're going to be hunting you down and putting you to death. The Bible says even cutting people's heads off during this time for those that don't bow down, because this guy's going to be possessed by Satan himself. So again, I would make an appeal to you, not just on on the fact of, you know, you're going to escape from that, which again, you will escape from that, but on a better grounds, that is, you now have your place secure in the kingdom of God with Jesus Christ. Make that decision for the Lord today. You can pray right now in your heart where you are, receive the Lord, and you will be born again. Repent of your sins, turn away, follow the Savior that loves you. He's the only way to heaven. No one goes to the Father except by Him. Now come to the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Pastor Mark, thank you so much as always, and folks, thank you for listening. Don't forget the waymedia.net for everything Signs of the Times related, plus other content we make available, and we'll see you next Friday right here for some more Signs of the Times. Tomorrow.